The word of the Lord for us to be strengthened and armed by this morning comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So far, God's word. We pray. Lord, arm us by your word. Amen. Might makes right. Right? Probably a phrase you've all heard before. And although it wasn't coined until 1864, the concept goes back a long time. It's the idea that if you're stronger than someone else, you can dominate them. You can have your way with them, and you're right in doing so. So, I can take candy from a baby, and it's okay, because I'm stronger than the baby, and he can't stop me. Of course, it is ridiculous to think that superior strength equals morality, but it is true that superior strength gives you dominion. It allows you to do what you want. You could think through all the annals of history and remember many, many people who had such strength, and the great majority of them abused it. They did not treat those whom they had dominion over very well at all. The same is true of our enemy. Paul tells us who that is in verse 12 of our text. He talks about rulers and authorities and cosmic powers and spiritual forces of evil. Of course, he's talking about Satan and his demonic forces. And they are very powerful. And we should have a lot of respect for that power. And they're not going to do anything nice to you if they have dominion over you. It says that they are evil. But what is their power? And if you don't want to come under their dominion, how do you keep from that? How do you have the strength to stand up to them? Well, the Bible tells us that the power of the devil is in death. He has dominion over death. And the Bible tells us that the power of death is sin. So when you sin, you come under the devil's dominion. And he gets to have his way with you. And that means hell. It's not a pretty picture. But, fortunately, that's not the whole picture that Paul is painting for us. This battle that he talks about in our text is not just a battle between us and Satan, because then we would certainly lose, and we would certainly be dominated by him. No, it's a battle between Christ for us and Satan. He says in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." That word might has the idea of dominion, exercising your will over your opponent because of your superior strength. And God certainly has superior strength to Satan. We could think of what the book of Revelation tells us about the revolt of Satan and his angels in heaven. Sometime after they were created, they rebelled, thinking that they could rise up and throw down God, thinking that they had power to rival God's. But God was so far above them in power, we're told that he just sent Michael to take care of it. This was so far beneath him, so easy for him to deal with, because he dominated Satan. But of course, Satan didn't stop there. Satan went after that thing which God loved the most, you and me, his people, out of spite and hate for God. And through sin, death reigned over all men. And through death, Satan held sway over all people, including you and me. But God had another battlefield with Satan. He sent Jesus into this world. And Satan knew why he was here, to save his people from their sins. So, Satan send everything he had after Jesus. A hurricane of evil force and fury, but it broke against the rock of Christ like waves on the shore. Every sickness healed, every demoniac cast out, every temptation thwarted, and sins forgiven. Satan could do nothing against Jesus. And then the unthinkable happened. Jesus laid aside his perfection, and he went to the cross, and he died. And here Satan must have been thinking, I finally got him. He's walked right into my trap. Because Satan, remember, has power over death. But it was through death, through the very thing that Satan held power over, that Jesus dominated him. Luke 11, Jesus says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. You've heard the idea of home court advantage. You're saying, oh, they're coming into our house, we've got to beat them. We've got to protect our home court, our home field. Well, Satan had home court advantage over death. But Jesus walked right into his house and dominated him. He bound him by his innocent death and his perfect life. He destroyed his power by rising from the dead. And that is the power that Paul is talking about in verse 10. That is the strength that he tells us to be strengthened with. And we know this because earlier in his letter, in chapter 1, Paul uses the same words. He writes, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places? It is Christ's victory over Satan that sets you free, that wins the victory for you. And by faith, that victory is yours. That is what Paul is encouraging us to do when he says, take up the armor of God. To take up the gospel. The good news that Satan has been defeated in Jesus Christ. One example of this is found in the breastplate of righteousness. You know, a breastplate is a really important piece of armor. It guards the heart and the vital organs. And if you don't have a good breastplate, you're not going to make it very long in the battle. So imagine that you went to fight in a dirty old rag. You wouldn't make it very far. Well, the breastplate that Paul's talking about is the breastplate of righteousness. So, if it's your own righteousness that you're going to go into battle with, then you're going into battle with a dirty old rag, and you're going to get pierced through the heart. But that is not the armor that God gives. He gives us the armor of Christ's righteousness. A breastplate that he forged with every sinless second of his life, and then laid aside so that he could be pierced through the heart on the cross, and you could have that perfect protection that Satan could never break. Now you stand fighting against Satan and all of his evil forces and all of their great power, but because God's power is yours, because his victory is yours, that roaring lion is nothing but a chained, declawed, scared cat who cannot touch you. For in Christ and in his great power, the victory is yours. So stand in the armor of God and fight. Amen. We will sing 451, hymn 451, verses 3 and 4.
cross country,